Well, well, here we are.
How can we love our country and not love our countrymen?
I have really nothing to, how do you answer that?
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills!
Hello, you speak English, sir? Parlo usted inglés?
All right, people, we're going to try something a little different today.
We are a nation that has a government, not the other way around.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
I cannot solve your problem, sir. Only you can.
We, as Americans, have the capacity now, as we've had in the past, to do whatever needs to be done to preserve this last and greatest bastion of freedom.
Discussing the issues that actually matter. Finding the answers using logic and reason. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Now here is your host, John Rush.
And I'm your host, Andy Pate, filling in for John Rush, together with the great Susan Kochevar of the 88 Drive-In. Are you having fun?
I certainly am.
Awesome. Well, you're going to have more fun because on the line right now, we have Michael Beatrice, the author of COVID-19 Lockdowns on Trial. Michael, how are you today?
I'm great. How are you all?
Doing great.
Good.
So what do you have for us? What's happening right now with COVID-19, with the lockdowns and everything else?
Okay, I'll answer that question, but after the new breaking news over the last day, I have to ask you.
Yes.
Was the situation with the University of Colorado students, did that seem to be a sort of breakout that was lockdown and COVID-related, or was it just a big party?
I think it started out as a party, but then when they tried to shut it down, it wound up being a revolt, I think.
Okay, because I read a news piece today that suggested that apparently one or some of the students said it was sort of in revolt to the lockdowns and some of the restrictions, and I didn't know if that was a cop-out or if that was real.
Yeah, that could be. Those poor folks have been locked in their dorms, and they've been taking food to them, and they take the same amount of food to the linebacker as they do to the little gal doing the yoga. So you get a yogurt and a banana, and if you're a linebacker, that's not near enough. I wouldn't be surprised if it didn't start out as a flat-out revolt.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised either. And, Michael, let's face it, it'll be a mix, right? For some people, they were just wanting to party, and for other people, maybe they were basically sending a message, that's enough. We can't take this anymore. And, well, what do you think? I mean, haven't we all just gone crazy?
Yeah, I've been studying this for a year now, right? And I started writing my book in April, and I've written a second edition. I'm writing a second book now, and so this is, I study this a lot. And the data never, in my opinion, it never supported the level of the restrictions that we've had. I mean, certainly some mitigations, but nothing like what we've encountered. When you look at the playbooks by the WHO and the CDC before COVID, even in a Category 5 pandemic, which would be like the Spanish flu, which would kill a couple million people in today's population numbers, they never suggested something like schools would be out of class for a year and a half, which is where we're going to end up when this is over. And so it's kind of gone off the rails. So where we are, the pandemic as we knew it, it is over. It doesn't mean that COVID's over. COVID's going to be with us the rest of our lives. But when you look at the population immunity, the number of people that have been infected, we're looking at 150 to 200 million people. You're adding in vaccines that have been not just the healthcare workers, but laser ban at the elderly, and about half the elderly population has now been vaxxed, so that's a really positive thing, too. So when you combine the vaccines and sort of a population immunity situation that's natural, we will never get a rise like we had before if we count the numbers accurately. And so right now, nationally, we're at under 5% hospitalizations, COVID hospitalizations as a total of the all hospital beds. And your state, Colorado, is hovering around 3, which is really good. So, I mean, the question to ask is, what number do we open? And fortunately, our governor in Texas, I live in Dallas, he's answered that question, and we're opening up Wednesday.
Well, good for you. Now we're jealous and we dislike you. So there you go. I mean, we really liked you until that moment, Michael, but you're free and we're not, and we're miserable. It's been driving us nuts. Let me ask you something about the elderly and the vulnerable populations, because by stretching this out, right, separating people and masking people and all this kind of stuff, by slowing the spread, haven't we just haven't we just stretched out their prison sentence? I mean, are we just making them stay at home much longer than they would have had to? What if we had simply identified the vulnerable populations, sheltered them, and allowed the virus to proceed through the rest of the population much more quickly? Wouldn't grandma be back with her grandkids?
Yeah, hard to say. I mean, that's a Barrington Declaration and Scott Atlas approach. I endorse that approach. You know, I've got 89-year-old parents in Detroit, which was hard hit early on.
Right.
And we've kept them, my brother and I have kept them under wraps for, you know, for this year. And they're good with that. They've got a nice little house and they're good with that. I've got a 21-year-old son away at college, and he and his roommates all got COVID about 3 weeks ago and mildly symptomatic, and they're over it. And I've told him to live his life as much as you can, as I do too. And so that's kind of what you do. And so what we've done is this sort of one-size-fits-all thing for like a year, keeping kids out of school. The one thing that's crazy about this, Andy, is if you look at the playbooks for any influenza pandemic before, the reason that you would close schools is because kids are the number one spreaders of the flu, and it was anticipated they'd be the number one spreaders of COVID. For some great reason that we don't know why, but it's, if there's any gift COVID gave us, it's that. Kids really aren't transmitters.
No.
Nor do they really get sick. You know that. And so the idea that kids have been out of school, 50 million kids have lost over a year of education, I hope I live long enough to see all the history books and how they remember it. And it's one of the reasons I wrote this book, is to get this documented. Hopefully it'll be one of these things that we look back and be like, you know, it was one of the worst things in American history.
Well, once again, we're talking to Michael Beatrice. And Michael, I've got another question for you, but first, can you let people know how to get your book?
Sure. The book is COVID-19 Lockdowns on Trial. You can get it at Barnes & Noble or Amazon.
Okay, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, and Lockdowns on Trial. Let me ask you this. Did you ever think you would see data go by the wayside? And what I mean is this, you know, you were talking about kids. All the data shows that kids are very poor transmitters of this disease. Just terrible.
Yeah.
Okay. And that they are an incredibly low risk group. And I mean, not just low risk, incredibly low risk. But it seems like the data.
Statistically
zero.
Statistically zero risk.
Yes. And yet we shut down all the schools. We also say, well, mask up, mask up, mask up. And yet states that don't have mask mandates have about the same, you know, transmission as states that do. It seems like, you know, we say distance, distance, distance. And what does that do? It destroys the economy because all these small businesses have bought floor space, right? They're paying premium dollar for their floor space. And we're basically telling them you can have five customers. What are we doing? What happened, Michael? Why did we throw out data?
Yeah, first off, you've got a great grasp of everything. Everything you said was completely true. So congratulations to you for being very knowledgeable.
I owe it all to my wife. I owe it all to my wife.
Awesome critical thinking there, Andy. Yeah, we really did sort of throw out data. You know, I was writing in this other piece, you know, there's sort of science before COVID. I called it science BC and science AC. There's science before COVID. And
awesome.
And so the science after COVID is, it's sort of very subjective in how you look at it. And an example of that is I was watching CNN. Actually, it was on a Sunday night. I was doing some work and had it muted. And in the background on the Sunday night, January 25th, I think it was, there was Bazar, the guy who was up for HHS secretary. So he was on the news and he was saying, the COVID plane is in a downward spiral. Okay, that was on a Sunday. That Friday, I had done a media release that said the pandemic as we knew it is over because everything's bottoming out, right? For all the reasons I said at the beginning of our discussion. And I thought to myself, so I recorded it and was listening to it, but I thought, how do we both see the same data points completely different? And that's really where we are is if you look at this sort of from a zero COVID lens, right? Dr. Fauci is the guy who, after 9/11, said, well, we can get the Taliban and Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan. We just need to drop about 7 or 8 nuclear bombs over the whole country, and it'll be over. And then somebody else raises their hand and says, well, no, that could cause a lot of collateral damage. And he goes, no, forget about that. We got one mission at hand here. And that's really where a lot of these people in Washington, a lot of these governors are, is they've got a zero COVID perspective, and it's sort of to hell with all the collateral damage. Unfortunately, you do have some governors. They're near you, the governors in both of the Dakotas, and Governor DeSantis, and there's a lot of others that have exercised a little bit more balance. And fortunately, Governor Abbott here in Texas has done that too.
You know, that's a very good point, because they don't seem to care about the collateral damage at all. They seem to care about their control, Michael. I mean,
well,
I think
in
they're
the media, though.
What? Go ahead.
The media only reports, though.
Right.
The media really reports from a zero COVID perspective. So you've got polling that really supports all these lockdowns and mask wearing measures, and that sort of gives the governors a green light, right? I mean, the governors aren't under any pressure. Cuomo's under a bunch of pressure in New York City or in New York State. Because of some sort of, you know, non-political things that he's been involved with, but also the nursing home thing. But as far as the severe lockdowns, he's been unscathed in this. And so it's because the media has put so much sort of color on this for the general population that there's a lot of fear out there, right? I mean, there really is a lot of fear out there.
I agree with you, Michael. I think that the media likes the scare tactics, and I think that they like the governors that are enforcing the control. But with the more states opening up, and I see Wyoming is opening up now, taking the mandates off and the masks and stuff, it looks to me like they might be just starting to lose control, because I see now the CDC's come out today and said, oh, people who have been vaccinated can now be around people, others.
You have permission to have a life again.
Yeah, no kidding. You know, I wrote another piece last week, and it was about three times that the CDC has jumped the shark. And so one of them was Dr. Redfield saying back in September that the mask is better than a vaccine. The second was when they took a bunch of dummies that were probably leftover mannequins from some retailer that went out of business because of the lockdowns, and they put double masks and said, hey, that looks like it works. That was their second study. They did a third one last week immediately. Like, you got to picture this. Tuesday, Governor Abbott in Texas says, we're going to open up with no masks. You got to picture this panic, right? You've got Newsom and you've got different governors and the White House calling the CDC saying, do something, do something. And so the CDC 3 days later puts out a study that says, we found definitive data that shows that mask wearing and indoor dining causes spread. Do you know how much spread they found?
How much?
1% increase in the places that didn't wear masks and had indoor dining. A 1% increase over the ones that didn't.
Those are death traps.
I'm not kidding. You have to look this up. I mean, you can't even make this up. It's like this movie, but if you saw it a few years, you'd be like, the CDC, no, that couldn't happen.
Unbelievable. Well, Michael, once again, we get back to data, which is what they ignore, because the data has said from the start, and correct me if I'm wrong, the spread of this virus, like most viruses, is mainly in the home. Right? That's where it's mainly going to be spread. That's why, you know, when one person gets sick in a household, virtually everybody does. And they seem to be ignoring that and instead shutting down all these businesses when they have virtually no evidence that it's being spread there.
Right. Most of the spread, I mean, if you took out all the nursing home, the long-term care facility fatalities, if you took that out, you would be... You'd be a little bit, I mean, so let's just say we have 500,000 COVID deaths right now, and about 300,000 of those are real. That's a real number. I'm no COVID denier. I lost a family member in a care facility to this. It's real. And then you take about half of that were lost in long-term care facilities. Then you add in we've got about 100,000 lockdown deaths. We net out about even. So if we'd have done kind of what you suggested, which is really protect our elderly, particularly our care facilities, and that actually, no kidding or sarcasm here, that must be difficult to do, because we had deaths in long-term care facilities running 10,000 a week, even as recently as 8 weeks ago. So that must be actually pretty hard to contain there for some reason, whether it's from employees or whatever, but at the care facilities. But to your point, if we did these better measures, when you look at the data, it doesn't justify the lockdowns, because only a sliver of the population is materially at risk here.
Fantastic. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, I want to just point something out. I feel really terrible for the employees of those facilities, because they have a difficult job anyway, and now this has to feel to them like they're being blamed, and they shouldn't feel that way.
No. And I honestly blamed sort of our leaders for not insulating it. But when you look at, I think the governors are taking the brunt of this, and you know who they are. They're all over the news, right? It's Newsom, it's Whitmer, Ann Cuomo, and a couple others. But one thing that's, you know, I don't know that in the rush of the moment last March, it would have been intuitive to them. But when you look at the cruise ship data that we had and Italy data that came in before the lockdowns, people like Dr. Fauci, Redfield, Burks, the CDC, it should have been intuitive to them early on that people with that are elderly with multiple underlying conditions are really, really at risk of this. And they didn't call that out to these governors. And so it's easy to blame the governors. But I tell you, these, quote, healthcare experts in our public health systems at the state and federal level, they own a lot of this.
I think they let us down terribly. Hey, Michael, really quick here. Once again, all of the people around us who are terrified are largely terrified because they're hearing a lot of bad information. But your right. book can give us good information to respond to them and maybe put them a little more at ease. So before you leave, one more time, let people know how they can get your book and get armed with the truth.
Yeah, sure. So it's COVID-19 Lockdowns on Trial. It's at Amazon and Barnes & Noble. And actually on Amazon, because I just really want to get the word out there, I mean, the Kindle price, I took it down a couple months ago to $3 just because I want to get a lot the information to a lot of people. And so, I'm not really making any money off this. I'm desperate to get the information out there so we can get back to normal.
Wait, you said around $3?
$3 for the Kindle version. It's 400 pages.
Oh, wow. Okay, folks, you heard it. You have no excuse. Go buy Michael Beatrice's book, COVID-19. And what is it? COVID-19?
Lockdowns on Trial.
Lockdowns on Trial. Fantastic. Thank you, Michael, and come back anytime.
I'd love to. You guys were great. Thank you so much.
You bet.
Take care. Okay, Extreme Auto Repair is next. They want to help you with all your vehicle's needs. They've got Cooper Tires at cost, and you might want to line up your summer tires now before the prices go up. So find Extreme Auto at klzradio.com or give them a call at 303-841-1071.
The team at Extreme Auto Repair doesn't normally let their customers drive loaner vehicles to California, but they do keep their promises. It was right before Thanksgiving, and they had promised a customer he'd have his minivan back in time for his upcoming road trip. But they ran into an unexpected issue and had to order a new part, which wasn't going to arrive in time. He needed to get going, and they still had his car taken apart back in their service bays. Sean, Mike, Dave, and the whole team at Extreme Auto Repair in Parker had a quick discussion to figure out how they could still keep their promise. Fortunately, they happened to have a minivan available as a loaner vehicle at the time, so they decided to tell him to take it on his trip. They didn't charge him for mileage, and they made sure he was fully covered so he didn't need to worry. The team at Extreme Auto Repair will always do what they say. Schedule a repair now at klzradio.com/extreme. Promises kept.
All right, Franktown Firearms is next. And right now, the wait time, guess what it is? To buy a firearm, it's same day.
Wow.
Yes. Yay. So if you're looking to start a collection or add to it, get in now before those wait times get longer. 720-770-7777 or find Franktown at klzradio.com.
Learn how to shoot with confidence at Franktown Firearms. Head trainer Karen Murray goes above and beyond Colorado state requirements in every course, from basic to advanced to tactical, providing practical training for real-world scenarios. Although the state of Colorado does not require lane time for CCW courses, you will shoot on the range during every class at Franktown because Karen believes your defensive shooting skills require practice. Classes are always small enough that everyone gets the instruction they need. For both members and non-members, the price of your class includes gun rentals, and the team at Franktown Firearms always keeps ammo in stock for you to purchase. Bring your own gun or rent one for no extra charge so you can try before you buy. Members receive a discount on all classes. For Rush to Reason listeners only, sign up for a membership today at klzradio.com/franktown and receive $50 off your initiation fee, plus your first month free.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pate sitting in for John Rush along with Susan Kochevar of the 88 Drive-In. And Susan, I want to ask you about men opening doors for women. Leslie Hollywood, a good friend of ours, she put this out, and she was not in favor of it. She was mocking it. It is a post that has gone viral. All right. And it says this. It's from a leftist. Men opening doors for women is a symbol of aggressive patriarchy. Men are saying, you may enter or leave this place, but only on my say-so. What do you think?
I think that's absolutely ridiculous. You know, just from a point of social order, when you are entering a building, who goes first? That kind of protocol helps a lot. The man holds the door, the woman can go in. It just sort of is like the elixir, makes things easier and nicer. And I will tell you, there are doors that are too heavy for me to open, and I certainly appreciate it when a man holds the door for me.
Yeah, I responded to this way. I open doors to oppress my wife. I also do dishes, mow the lawn, grill dinner, shovel snow, rototill the garden, and countless other actions, all to oppress her. For some reason, she enjoys her servitude.
Well, and typically, this is awful, in slavery, isn't it the slaves that open the doors and fan the individual to keep them cool?
Yeah.
So...
She makes me fan her, too. Yes,
maybe she should.
Every night.
Yeah, maybe the person mocking that should, or the person writing that should check their premise.
Let me ask you about something really quick before we go to break here. The token touch. This is something that's always driven me nuts. When I hold a door open for a lady, and by the way, I do that all the time, okay? A lot of women feel the need to touch the door before they go through. So I'm holding the door. It's wide open. Plenty of space to get through. And a lot of times the woman will push her hand on the door or touch the door as she's going through, as if I'm going to shut it on her or something. I'm not quite sure what the purpose is. Do you have any idea why this happens?
I would have a guess. And I think that's to kind of acknowledge that you're actually holding the door and just sort of to help. That would be my guess.
To help hold the door
help
open?
Hold the door. Yes, you're doing something nice for me. Just kind of help hold the door.
The token touch.
The token touch.
It drives me nuts. Okay, on the line right now, John from Cheyenne. John, you want to weigh in?
Oh, yeah, Andy, I got to weigh in.
Okay.
My wife stands outside the car door waiting for me, and we've been married 28 and a half years.
So. Oh, she's got you trained.
You know, I did it when we first started dating, and she grew up in the South, so it's expected. It it's not called... it's called good manners.
You know, John, in the South, it's totally expected. In the North, it's pretty expected too. But in New Jersey, when a guy opens the door, it's actually to the trunk. So it's actually very dangerous.
Well, yeah, sometimes, but you know, I'm not a New Jersey guy. I'm a New York guy. Andy, I got to go back.
Go ahead.
It's okay to Friday.
Yes.
John, I wanted to call him out today. I didn't have a chance. Said that De Niro didn't make great movies when he was younger. And I got to call him out on that. And I'll give you three examples.
Oh, this is great because he's not here to defend himself. It's perfect. Go ahead.
Bang the Drum Slowly.
Okay.
Taxi Driver.
Oh, wow. Yes.
And Godfather Part Two.
I cannot argue. Yes, yes, and yes. Especially, yes. Taxi Driver, he was incredible. You're right, he was great when he was young.
You know, but when he said that, I was up in the mountains. We had just finished skiing, and I couldn't call. I didn't have cell service. So I was like, I got to call him. But then hopefully his brother's doing okay.
But John, hopefully so. But John, okay. Before we let you go, I just got to ask, aren't there some actors that just get better with age?
Oh, yeah, I definitely agree. And then there's some actors... You should do this as a category. And I got one other thing to say real quick about Wyoming opening up.
Okay.
But you should do a thing that great actors that you want to slap them for their politics on a Friday.
Yes. You know, that's a good one. Because, maybe we should do that.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Tom Hanks.
I could name
calling
three.
Tom Hanks. Go ahead.
No, how about this one? And his politics are really to the left. Ed Harris.
Oh, yes. Yeah. But he's good. He's such a good actor.
It's hard to think of him in a bad role.
You know, I want to tell you something, John. It's great that we can really hear you today because I notice you're not wearing your two masks.
I don't have a mask. I haven't worn a mask in months in Wyoming.
I know.
Let me tell you something. Susan brought up that Wyoming's lifting it. Let me tell you something. When they put a state mandate out, every county sheriff And every county prosecutor came out and said, we're not enforcing it. We don't have the manpower and we don't have the time.
Good for them.
So they never enforced the mask mandate. Now, they kind of used the Department of Health and the liquor authorities to go after the restaurants that weren't following the rules. And that's how government, oh, big government gets them. They don't, you know, they go after their liquor license and their, you know, Board of Health certificate. So, but yeah, Tuesday, we're open 100% everything and the mask mandate goes away.
You know,
the
John.
The only mandate.
Go ahead.
The only mandate that he's leaving is for the schools. And our schools have been open 100% the whole state since September or late August. So he's just leaving that in place.
Let me jump in, John, because why are kids wearing masks when the risk level for them is zero? The schools should be the first place they're not wearing them, but Susan has a comment.
Yeah, I was going to say, John, to your point, I hope that people have learned a lesson about limiting the power of health department and business licensure.
Well, yeah, and here's what, I don't know if you guys knew this, but the Wyoming legislature just is voting, our legislature's in session right now. We only let them meet once every other year for 40 days.
That's
and
wise.
And then they have to go home and do their real job. That's why we don't have craziness up here. But right now, they voted on a bill that the governor and the state health guru, whatever his title is, I can't remember, can only put an emergency mandate in effect for 30 days without getting legislative approval.
Good.
Wow.
So
awesome. Okay.
The legislator is getting ready to take the power back from the unelected bureaucrats.
All right.
And the same thing, and the rule also says at the county level, the county commissioners have the right to take it back from the county at the same way. So, yeah, we're looking at not. So the next thing we're voting on is to build a fence on our southern border.
Please. I can't blame you. I can't blame
Andy,
you because
have a great day.
Dangerous people like me might vacation up there. Have a good one, John.
Great call.
Yeah.
All right, take care. Okay, next up after the break is going to be Richard Rush joining us on sports. But first, Purefoy Chevrolet. If you're looking to buy a new or used vehicle, they got you covered with a full lot of great cars at a place where you're treated like family. Check out the new 2021s at purefoychevrolet.com or give Purefoy a call at 303-659-8311. Purefoy Chevrolet, find new roads.
If you haven't walked through the Chevrolet showroom at Purefoy, it's a really fun experience. There's a guest book at the entrance and you look through there. It's actually become sort of a vacation destination for Chevrolet enthusiasts who've come from other countries just to walk around and look at these gorgeous cars and purchase a vehicle. You know, you think of Fort Lupton as a small town and it does have that small town personable feel, but the facilities at Purefoy Chevrolet are really stunning.
You know, I've had the chance to spend time with Rolly Purefoy and he's such a genuine man. He is willing to do anything at that dealership. And in fact, we have seen him doing anything, washing windows, cleaning a floor, redoing the whole Corvette showroom. That's just who he is. He's a guy that is not afraid to get his hands dirty, to do the work. He's more of a servant leader than he is the leader that says, you got to go do this. So that makes me want to buy a car at Purefoy Chevrolet, and that should make you want to buy a car there too.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purefoy. We're just up the road in Fort Lupton and on the web at purefoychevrolet.com. Find new roads.
All right, RoofMax. Not only are roofs expensive, but roof damage can cost you big time. Big time in home repairs. You know that, right?
Absolutely, Ken.
Oh, yes. So call Dave Hart at 303-710-6916, and he'll show you how RoofMax extends the life of your roof for 5, 10, even 15 years at a big savings over replacement. That's RoofMax at 303-710-6916.
RoofMax in South Aurora keeps your roof going strong with roof rejuvenation. Modern asphalt shingles are manufactured with less oil than they used to be, so they dry out sooner, leaving them brittle and unable to expand and contract with the extreme temperature swings. Especially here on the Front Range, where your roof handles high elevation sun, UV exposure, and severe spring and summertime storms, along with more than twice the national average snowfall, your shingles wear out even faster. Roof rejuvenation with Roof Max could save you up to 85%. Just one application of their all-natural bio oil immediately adds 5 years to your roof, guaranteed. With up to three applications every 5 years, Roof Max could help your roof last 15 years longer. Save thousands of dollars by extending the life of your roof instead of replacing it. Call Dave Hart with Roof Max in South Aurora now at 303-710-6916.
Affordable Interest Mortgage with Kurt Rogers. Take some of that equity in your house, turn it into cash, and Kurt can often do it without increasing the cash flow you're paying out. That's pretty cool, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Just call Kurt Rogers at 720-895-0500 or go to aimortgage.net. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you.
Can you believe how low rates are staying? Still in the twos. Back in the 40s and the 50s, rates were in the 5 to 6% range. How much longer are you going to wait? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Your home has never been worth more. Take AIM to get that lower rate or shorten your term. Lower your payment and pay thousands less in interest. It's your money. Call 720-895-0500 now. Affordable Interest Mortgage. Locally owned and family operated since 2001. Are you ready for the future financially? Many of our clients have the ability to access their equity for 30 years without raising their payments now. This prepares them for those speed bumps of life. Ask how you can become mortgage safe too. Take AIM, 720-895-0500, where our reputation of putting you first and listening to you is unmatched in Colorado. Call 720-895-0500 now so you can focus on what's important, family. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pate filling in for John Rush, along with Susan Kochevar. And on the line right now, Richard Rush talking sports. Richard, how you doing, sir?
Doing well, sir. How are you?
Doing well. Hey, I need to ask you something. We are heading into the craziest offseason I've ever seen in the NFL, because I've never seen a year where you have one big, massive drop in the money that these teams can spend for this year, because the salary cap's going to be way down, and then it jumps up next year with the new TV deals. What is that going to be like? I mean, are we going to see a bunch of one-year prove-it deals? How are these teams going to be shopping this offseason?
Yeah, I think it's going to be where you're going to see a lot of veterans that maybe you wouldn't see. You know, normally, Andy, we get the veterans. You see the veteran cuts, right? You know,
right.
A guy that's maybe on the third or fourth year, you know, deal of a multi-year deal, and, you know, he's just not quite worth it. You know, maybe he's gotten old or just hasn't had the production or, you know, whatever it might be. So you're for sure going to have those. You know, there's no question about that. But I think you're just going to see maybe a few more deals than we're used to that are just a little bit on the, like you say, the shorter term side. And I think you may have a few more veteran players in the market than, again, you're used to, because, like you say, because of COVID, these teams had the TV revenue, but they didn't have the gate revenue to, you know, help offset some of these things. And so you're going to see a lot of these teams, you know, have to cut it, because you've got, you know, a lot of these deals, Andy, and a lot of these teams won't even tell you, well, they'll tell you, you know, through how they structure it. They basically plan on the salary cap going up every single year. And so for folks that don't know, you know, the salary cap is essentially an anti-capitalist, and I'll say it, way of doing things, right? Basically, it limits what you can spend. Baseball, in essence, doesn't have a salary cap. The NBA kind of has a version of it. The NHL has a very hard salary cap, you know, similar to the NFL. And basically, it says you can't spend over X amount of dollars, right, on your players in that year. Now, there's a difference between cap and cash, Andy, right? You know, there's teams all the
right
time that kind of finagle the cap. You know, you can do different things, and we could spend a whole lot of mind-boring, numbing minutes on that, that I'm sure your listeners don't really care too much for. But, yeah, so you've got a lot of this, you know, teams. But anyway, teams plan on that salary cap going up each year. And so salaries generally on multi-year deals go up with the cap, right, Andy? So that way, you know, it takes up a little bit more of it, but, you know, okay, they're maybe they're paying a guy a little bit more on the backside, but, you know, it's all good because the salary cap's going up because revenues are going up. Well, and obviously because of COVID, that's not happening. Like you say, it's actually going down by, I think, at least, Andy, about $16 million, which is a really good size. Basically, that's one Pro Bowl player, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's one Von Miller. it's one J.J. Watt before his contract. You know, he just signed his new one. That's how much it's going down. And so, yeah, I think you're 100% correct. You're going to see a lot of these teams really kind of having to figure out how to navigate that, cutting high-priced veterans, maybe even, Andy, some teams trying to cut a player and bring them back on a cheaper deal, you know, kind of shortly after free agency begins or whatnot. And so I just think it's going to change the way teams do things a little bit. But, yeah, I think it'll be interesting, and it opens the door. And, Andy, you didn't even mention how you've got a lot of teams that are actually going to be opening the door for, you know, changing franchise quarterbacks, not because of the salary cap, but because of, well, maybe it's not working, you know, maybe a change of scenery, or maybe we're going to go with the younger option, or maybe this is another year, you know, all these different factors. So, yeah, a wild offseason coming up, to say the least.
Well, yeah, I mean, let's face it, you and I can geek out and nerd out on caponomics for hours and drive people nuts, of course. But I do think there's one big thing that people do want to know, Richard. Where's all this talent going? Okay, because you're going to see so many teams that got to get under the cap who are cutting a lot of players that they normally wouldn't cut. Those players are going to be available at least for one-year deals or for short deals for much less money than they would have been, because they know people don't have the money to spend. And so here's my question. What about the Cleveland Browns effect? And what I mean is this. What about teams that actually have their house in order with the cap, and they've got an extra $20-30 million to spend this year, in this year of all years, the bargain hunting year? Okay. And I know that doesn't get you stars, but I'm talking mid-level players who are very good, who you can now get a bunch of them for real cheap. Could we see teams like the Cleveland Browns suddenly go from being a good team that just made it into the playoffs to being a great team overnight?
Yeah, Andy, I think a lot of it's going to depend on the free agents, because, like you said, I think you're going to have some free agents that take the opportunity for that deal, right? You know, they take the easy money, we'll call it. And so I think you are going to have some free agents that do that. And because, Andy, you can have this happen, right? A guy signs a deal, you know, he's got a smart agent.
Right.
He sees what's happening. He knows that the league is, you know, basically kind of going through a down year. So, okay, you know what? Let me just sign a one-year deal. Let me go out and perform, you know, this next year. And then once I perform, then I can sign a nice lucrative contract next year, right? And get back kind of in the graces. So, yeah, you could see, I think, a lot of teams, Andy, the Indianapolis Colts are one of those, where they can actually pay really big money for this year because they've got a lot of cap.
Right.
And it doesn't hurt them. And as long as they structure it correctly, it doesn't hurt them going down the line, right? Because as long as they, you know, don't have these multi-year deals that carry these big, you know, signing bonuses and big cap hits, you know, as long as they can afford it on the cash, which we know the Colts can with their, you know, lovely owner, Mr. Irsay, then I think you're 100% correct, Andy. I think you could see some of these teams really maybe go for it this year and see where it takes them. The Patriots are another team. Obviously, a lot of these teams, though, Andy,
good example,
that are this way, don't have quarterbacks, though, that they can do that with. A lot of these teams that are set at quarterback don't have a lot of money. The Saints and the Chiefs, to name a few, and in fact, they're actually going to figure out how to get underneath the cap by the time the league year starts next week.
Okay, Susan's got a question.
Well, you know, I'm kind of an economics geek, so when you start talking about capping pay, it makes me think, you know, most people don't know how insurance got tied to employment, but that's exactly how they capped. The government decided they were going to cap how much you could earn, and so companies had to find a way to get better people, so they started offering them health insurance, and that's how that stuff got stuck together, and now you can't take your, now you have, you know, conditions, and you can't go find another insurance company.
Yeah, and the NFL's got the best benefits around. Right,
yeah,
Richard?
So, works everywhere.
For sure. Well, and Susan's 100% correct in that you've got, again, the salary cap, you know, Susan, to your point, individual wages aren't necessarily capped, but they are in the sense, right, because you wouldn't want to devote half of your salary cap, as much as he would help you, to Aaron Rodgers, right, Andy, or Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
You got to structure the deal a little bit better. So that's why it's, you know, but, and let's be honest, though, the salary cap when it comes to the NFL, because of how everything's structured, and again, we could go through this for the next couple hours of the intricacies of the league, it actually helps. And again, I'm all for economics and all for free market and you know, capitalism and all that, but I actually kind of like that the NFL does it and they are so strict about it, Andy, because it calls for so much parity, right? and you've got so many different teams able to do it. You have a team like the Buccaneers with Tom Brady, where they can, Tom Brady can go to the Bucs one year and win a Super Bowl and, you know, not throw everything else out of whack. So, yeah, absolutely. I think that it's really kind of an interesting thing as we get into the business side of the NFL, Andy, right? We're going to get to the funny money stage here in about, I guess, about a week or so now, right?
Right. Well, I'll tell you what, when we come back from break, Richard, could you talk a little bit about the ring chasers? Because I think we're going to see a lot of guys just chasing rings on one-year deals, and maybe we'll be seeing a lot of that. And also the teams that can just pile it in because they're more ready than some other teams. Can you do that after the break?
Yep. Absolutely.
Fantastic. Okay, but first, Gino's Auto is up next. They're one of the best, most trusted auto shops in Littleton. They're offering new customers $25 off any work that's $250 or more. Are you ready for great work and honest people? Just call Geno's at 303-794-6700, or you can find them at genosautoservice.com.
For over 38 years, Geno's Auto Service has been serving Littleton and customers along the Front Range. Right now, you can take advantage of Geno's $74.99 four-wheel alignment special. Mention KLZ Radio, and they'll include a free inspection of your suspension. During the winter months, icy roads and potholes can damage your suspension, so it's worth getting it checked out. This month, get a $50 NAPA prepaid Visa card with a qualifying NAPA steering and suspension parts purchase of $250 or more. As members of Colorado Select Auto Care, Geno's backs up their service with NAPA's nationwide Peace of Mind warranty. Geno's continues to service Larry's automotive customers. To make your life simpler, Geno's offers loaner vehicles so you can drop your car off and pick up when ready. Give them a call or go online to schedule an appointment. And be sure to check out all of their excellent Google reviews. They're AAA approved and located at Bowles and Platte Canyon in Littleton. Stop in or visit them online at GenosAutoservice.com. That's Geno's with a J.
All right, Bruce Simmons with American Liberty Mortgage. You know, when you talk about mortgages, it's easy to feel lost.
Totally.
Oh my gosh, the paperwork alone is endless. But Bruce Simmons, he explains reverse mortgages so well, you'll be teaching your friends about it. Give Bruce a call at 303-467-7821, or you can find Bruce Simmons at klzradio.com.
You want to work with Bruce Simmons because you can trust him. Bruce is usually the only person you'll talk to throughout the entire process. He's the one who meets with you and your family to explain the loan. He's the person you call with questions. He answers his phone himself every time. He personally attends all of his own closings. He'll even stay in touch after the loan closes in case you have more questions. John Rush recommended Bruce Simmons to his own mom and dad because he wanted them to work with someone local, someone who had specialized exclusively in reverse mortgages for more than 18 years, someone who would guarantee their fees so the cost would never exceed what he quoted them at the beginning. Plus, John really likes and believes in Bruce. You already know you don't want to work with a national company because you prefer a more personal approach. So choose someone you'll enjoy working with and can trust completely. Find KLZ's Bruce Simmons now at klzradio.com/reverse. Personalized reverse mortgage expertise.
You don't need to schedule an appointment or drive anywhere for a free estimate from a good shop. Other than the actual collision itself, scheduling an estimate might be the most stressful part of auto body work because you don't have time for it. You're already worried about how much the repairs will cost. You're worried about how long your vehicle will be out of commission, and you still need to figure out whether or not you should make an insurance claim because you're worried about your premiums going up. Al Sturm, owner of a good shop in North Glen and Commerce City, has always looked to the future, providing new, different, and better services than the corporate conglomerates. Click on the mobile estimate button at klzradio.com/collision and enter your phone number to start taking photos for your free virtual estimate from a good shop. Certified collision repair worth referring. Mention KLZ Radio in your estimate request for $100 off your repairs.
This is Josh with Business Equipment Service. Here's a message from one of our satisfied customers. Greg with Open Range Services said, "With all the things I have to worry about in a day, it's nice not to have to worry about this complex beast of a machine outside my office. BES has done a great job of maintaining it for us, and we use the heck out of it. I have had some not-so-fun experiences with office machine maintenance companies in the past. Thanks for giving me one less thing to worry about." If you are looking into purchasing office equipment or have a problem with equipment you currently have, give us a call at 303-825-5664.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Richard Rush is on the line. And Richard, I know that this is going to be the craziest offseason ever because never have so many quality players been available for so many cheap short-term contracts. I've never seen anything like that. But let's put it, instead of looking at it from the team's perspective, I want to look at it from the player's perspective, all right? So right now, I want you to imagine that you are a veteran who's already made a bunch of money, and you're getting released by your team because they got to get under the cap. They got to cut your big salary. Do you chase a ring? What do you do?
Yeah, well, first off, Andy, I will say, or I don't know if you just saw, but Dak Prescott and the Cowboys finally came to an extension.
How much?
So he is in. They haven't said yet. So the Cowboys actually announced it. Getting ahead of it, I would guess you're going to be close to that $40 million. You know, Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes type money. So $35-40 million a year, which is, you know, crazy in and of itself. So
really quick before you run on, I really like Dak Prescott. What do you think of him?
I'll be honest. I still think he's one of those quarterbacks that needs a really, really good team around him. He needs some really good complementary pieces.
I agree.
But I think that there's a lot of quarterbacks that way. You know, there's only so many Tom Brady's, only so many Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers. You know, I think even a guy like Matthew Stafford who just went to the Rams, he needs a good team around him. I think a lot of quarterbacks do, but I think you can win with Dak, and I think you can win big if you do it right. So, yeah, absolutely. And to your point, Andy, now the Cowboys, if Dak comes back healthy, now that they have him secured, they may be a team, depending on how they structure stuff right, that, again, a team goes to. And by the way, to answer your question as far as a veteran goes,
sure.
I think it all depends on how old am I. How much have I made in my career? I'll be honest with J.J. Watt. He's not chasing a ring, and I'm not going to fault the guy for this. He's trying to gain as much money as he can, right? And that's what the deal that J.J. Watt signed with the Cardinals was, Andy. You know, the most guaranteed, the most secured. Plus, Arizona's not a bad place to go train and play, you know, play your football and be year-round. And so, but I think you could see some of these guys, you know, maybe some of these veterans that are maybe 32, 33, 34 years old, take a lesser deal with a team like the Buccaneers. Maybe instead of getting $10 million a year, they make $5 million a year. Which, again, most of us are like, man, that's a, you know, crazy amount of money, which it certainly is. But I think you look at that, and I think you could see it, and maybe more so than normal, but it's also going to be up to these teams, Andy, and how they get under the cap. The Chiefs, for example, I think are like $20 million over the cap right now. And, Andy, I take that back. So they just gave him 4 years, $160 million, a no-trade clause, and no tag, $126 million guaranteed.
Whoa. Okay, well, hey, really quick here. Let's talk for the last 4 years. You just said 4 years. So for the last 4 years,
yep.
We talked a lot about Russian collusion, right? Well, I want to talk about player collusion. What about a bunch of players, a group of them, targeting a team and talking to each other through their agent, maybe they share an agent, and saying, let's do 1 year, let's get together and go to this team and chase that ring together. Could that happen?
Well, technically, that's not against the rules, Andy.
I know it isn't. I didn't say it was illegal collusion. I think it's more fun collusion. All right, so you got some players who say, okay, we're looking at this team. It's the Denver Broncos, and we really like them, but we know they're only missing these three or four key pieces. Let's all go there on this, you know, this year, chase a ring together, and next year we make our big money.
Yeah, I think, again, I don't know why more, you know, I don't know why more teams don't do NBA style, right? Why more players? And I think, Andy, it's because the NFL career is such a short lifespan that you don't ever know when your year could be your last one. You know what I mean? You're
right.
Never sure when that could be the case. And so that's why I don't think you see it as much. I think that's a little bit harder for players to do because they've got to, as they would say, secure the bag, right? They've got to secure their money and secure their dollar amount for their family for the future. And so, yeah, I think that you're going to see a team might get two, maybe three of these solid players, but they may not get too many more outside of that.
Are we going to see something kind of two classes? In other words, on the first hand, you're going to see these younger, higher level players who still get the big contracts, but they're more end loaded. So they're not loaded too much this year because the cap's down. But then you see a bunch of mid-level players going on the short term win now contracts, or just going and flooding into teams like Cleveland and Indianapolis who have a lot of money.
Yeah, but I think you're going to see kind of what you normally see, Andy, maybe just in greater in greater numbers. So I don't know if you're necessarily going to see, you know, kind of the special type deals or the specially, you know, essentially kind of created deal sort of thing. I think you're just going to kind of see what you have been, maybe just in more numbers, like you say, more veterans released, more guys on short-term deals, maybe more guys on two-year deals or three-year deals, less guaranteed, you know, just so they can spread out the cap hit. But I think you are going to see a few more guys this year take those one-year contracts in order to kind of gain that, like you say, kind of gain that one final chance or two at a ring. But I don't know if it's going to kind of cause a new class in the NFL.
Okay, and my last question just on this topic is this. What does this do with the draft? I mean, you've got so many teams that are losing just a bunch of talent to get under the cap. Does this actually raise the importance of bringing in a new batch of young, cheap players?
Absolutely. You got to hit in the draft, which is why the Broncos drafted the guy that they did. They drafted George Payton, or not drafted. They brought in, they signed him as the GM. They've got to bring him in, and he's got to do that because that is the key to success, Andy, and then signing these being that destination that lets you sign these free agents for those 1 or 2 year deals.
Okay, we got about a minute left. Richard, tell us what you would do with this weird off season if you were the Broncos.
Say that one more time, Andy.
What would you do with this weird off season if you're the GM of the Broncos?
I go with Drew Lock one more season.
Agreed.
And then I draft really well. I actually may move back in the draft, try to get a few extra draft picks, really try to secure kind of, like you say, the future there, allow us to really grow and get the team to grow. And then, honestly, again, maybe get a few younger free agents kind of that I know maybe can grow into it and maybe try to trade for someone that's someone else's problem, that sort of thing. And really, I just kind of take it by ear. I think I see if Drew Lock has it this year. If not, next year's another deep quarterback class, and you see what you can do.
Do you see – what would you say are the biggest need positions on the Broncos that they should target in free agency and the draft?
I think if we need to try to secure the offensive line one more position, I think you were one person short and after one, come back and play. I think he'll do really well there. And then outside of that, you need to get some defensive line help and some linebacker. Well, sorry, defensive, basically your defense. Defensive line, corner, all three levels need reinforcement.
Well, fantastic, Richard. By the way, let me know if they give you that job.
All right, we'll do. See ya.
Okay. Thanks, man. That's Richard Rush talking sports here on Rush Reason. That'll do it for hour number two. In the next hour, we're going to have Kurt Rogers with the Monday Mortgage Minute and Andy Barnes-Rubin of CartSafe. It's a really interesting way to shop safely. So until then, keep it right here on Rush to Reason KLZ 560.